Thank you, Jake. Jake made a really good point about loving Jesus, showing the light, being the salt of the earth. I guess modern day terms would be the freezer. Is that what we would be? Freezers of the earth? Probably not. I think we're probably still salt. But it's a great segue, because guess what we're talking about today? Go ahead, guess. No, Jesus. Okay. Good guess, though. Yes, we are in our fourth message in our Apostle series. You were way too close. But we're in, I think, our third topic, because the first week was just a bit of an intro. And we're going to be talking about Jesus and the line that's in our Apostles' Creed. And I have this with me. I was actually using it as a bookmark for one of my references here. Let's just might as well just read it again. We've probably been doing that a while. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered from under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of everlasting. Amen. And today, we're going to tackle that third line there. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I might be a little biased because maybe I'm doing the teaching, but I believe wholeheartedly that talking about Jesus today might be the most fundamental, maybe the most important teaching in this series. And I don't say that in a bloated manner or anything. And I'll explain it as the message progresses, but Jesus is our cornerstone. He's the foundation of what we do and why we do what we do. He's the reason why we're motivated to do what we do. He's the reason why we plant a church in Rhode Island. He's the reason why we get saved. He's the reason why everything happens for us the way that it does. So we're going to talk about Jesus today in light of the Apostles' Creed and just how significant and important this simple line that I believe in Jesus, God's only Son, our Lord. We're going to tackle it basically the same way that all the other messages are going to be handled. We have like three major ways to do it. We're going to talk about Jesus as Son and Lord. We're going to talk about, like, well, where is this in Scripture? You know, the Apostles' Creed is recited by man. It was written by man, but it's based on Scripture. So we're going to talk about where it is in Scripture, why this line is in the Apostles' Creed, where we can find it in Scripture. And there's four Scripture references, actually, we're going to walk through today. And if you guys have your pamphlet, it's actually just on the back there. The front is all the dates. The back are all the Scripture references. And I'm very grateful for Justin and Mark for finding all the Scripture references because they literally cut my prep time in half. So that was nice. So we're just going to walk through those four as we go through the message today. And then we're going to talk about why is it important? Why is Jesus important? Wow, that's a really big question. It's going to take a long time to answer probably, but we'll talk about why is Jesus important? Why is this line in the Apostles' Creed so important? Why is it so foundational? And then lastly, what does it mean for us today? Practicality. Being able to apply this. Is applicably a word? That's a word, right? Applicably, how do we take Jesus Christ and apply it to our daily lives, our relationship with him? So I'm going to pray, and I got a lot to talk through. I'm not like Rob, I'm not going to withhold this from you, but I did clock this at 45 minutes. I know Rob likes to surprise us with how long he goes. We have a running joke between the four of us of who runs the longest. I'm going to try and go faster than that, I promise, I really am. So let's pray. God, you are good and holy. You are almighty and a father and a master and magnificent. Pray for this message. I pray for the Holy Spirit to be flowing through us, God. Get us in sync with him. Get us in sync with what you want us to hear, Lord. Teach us today, God. Just pray for, help me just be the vessel, God. Pray that we just be in sync with you. The Spirit just flows through all of us, Lord. Teach us, convict us, encourage us today. In Jesus' name, Amen. So what does Scripture say here? What is this? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Where are the foundations in Scripture for this claim? Well, the first one we're going to look at is in the Gospel of Matthew. We were just there, which was wonderful. We're going to be in chapter 3. Now, I'll give you a little context. The verse is 3:17, but I'll give you a little context here, what's going on. This is Jesus, and this is Matthew in his gospel writing about the account of Jesus getting baptized. We'll pick it up in 13 here. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We're going to look up some Greek today. I hope you guys are excited. Greek for the week. The Greek word here for son in the ancient Greek, and I'm going to butcher all of these words, so just go with it. It's pronounced huios. I know it looks like E-I-O-S, but it's huios. Literally translates to family member, specifically a masculine son, or just a son. God literally says with his own voice, because it's recorded, with his own voice, God establishes that Jesus is in the family tree of God. And he finds favor in him. The first reference point we have for understanding why the line, I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, our Lord, is in the Apostles' Creed, is because God himself actually speaks and testifies on his Son's behalf that, yes, Jesus is my only Son. He is my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with him. And we should take this seriously. Luke, you can bring those 2 points up. And this should be taken seriously. If we need to understand that Jesus actually comes from God in the Holy Trinity. He's not just some long-haired hippie who just aimlessly wandered around Israel and just happened to be talking about nice things and teaching good things to bad people and cracking whips at Pharisees. Jesus actually was holy, divine. He came from God with a purpose, with an intent. And God himself speaks and says, this is my Son. Jesus is able to give us a glimpse, the doorway, the path, the bridge into a relationship with God. And I like to think, if you're married or you're really close with someone, you got a best friend, family member, so you meet them first, right? So, for example, my wife, Brianna, I met her before I met her dad, right? I met her before I met her mom. I met her before I even met our own kids, right? You can laugh, it's okay. Now, I'm sure there are certain situations where maybe you actually met your in-laws on accident before you met your spouse, but anyway, I kind of like to think of it this way. Jesus came to introduce us to a relationship with God because God sent him. He's his only son. We met Jesus so that we could meet God. I met Brianna, and through Brianna, I met her in-laws. There's some weird people, but I still love them. I think what I like about this first verse, and the reason why I keep pausing is because I got a lot of thoughts, but the reason why I really like this first verse is because the first point of reference we have is God himself actually speaking and saying, this is my Son. That's our first evidence, our first testimony to understand why this is in the Apostles' Creed. Second one, it's going to be located in the Gospel of John. Now, we're actually in the same scene, but now it's through the perspective of John, the disciple, giving his account about the baptism of Jesus. And this one is located in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Again, I'll read you context here. We'll pick it up in 34. Yeah, we'll pick it up in 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, this is John the Baptist speaking, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I have said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But for the purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness to this, that this is the Son of God." This is John the Baptist kind of going on a monologue here. And I like it. We finally get to hear John speak and give testimony to this. John bears witness that Jesus is real, that he is the Son of God. That word there in the Greek, it's merautoureo. I practiced this, I really did. Merautoureo. And if you can deduce from the word just by looking at it, you can probably figure out this is where we get the word martyr from. John the Baptist lived his life in a way where he implored that what he spoke about Jesus was true. That's what that word means, to implore that what you speak is true. Think of it this way. If we were to take John the Baptist and we put him in a modern-day courtroom, there's a judge, lawyers, jury, and we put him on the witness stand, and we ask him to give an account for what he's seen about Jesus, what he believes about Jesus, his opinion about Jesus, John the Baptist, in his witness stand, wouldn't just sit there arms folded, twiddling his thumb, in a monotone voice, just explaining what he believed. He'd be giving a witness, he'd be giving an account, a testimony. But this word means to implore, to speak with passion, with conviction, with wholehearted earnesty that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To the point that John would be arrested for his belief and beheaded and martyred for what he believed and what he said. John lived his life not just believing, but imploring others to believe, to the point that he died, to the point that he was martyred. Second reason why we find this in the Apostles' Creed, well, the first one, God himself said that Jesus Christ is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. The second reason why it's so important and it's in here is because people die because of this. They're martyred because of what they believe. And John the Baptist was so convinced that Jesus was or is who he says he is that he carried it all the way to the end of his life. We have God testifying that Jesus is his only Son. We have John the Baptist imploring others to believe this. He was preparing them. He was saying, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's someone greater than me that's coming who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he was preparing people. He was imploring them to believe. He was getting them ready. And then Jesus finally came. And then when he saw the dove descend upon him, he knew for a fact, this is the Son of God. And he testified and he witnessed to it. And then he was martyred for it. That's encouraging, isn't it? Follow Jesus, get your head cut off. Well, I'm glad we live where we live right now. So we have two witness accounts. We have God himself saying, Jesus is my Son. Literally, he says it, speaks. Then we have John the Baptist believing it to the point and imploring it to other people. And he ends up deciding that he's going to take it all the way and be martyred for it. So why does this matter? What is John the Baptist really believing? He's just taking it at face value? There has to be a reason why he's willing to die for this, right? There has to be a reason why God would even send his own Son, right? Why does Jesus matter? Simple as this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Why does Jesus matter? This is why. Jesus is sent with a purpose. He's sent to die for our sin, to be a sacrifice, an unblemished lamb. He lived the perfect life we never could. And if we believe in this, we will have eternal life. That word believe, pistuo, means to place confidence in. You ever make a bet? I'm not asking if you have a problem. I'm not just asking if you ever made a bet. You grew up with siblings, I bet you made a lot of them. I just made one. You ever think, oh man, I think the Packers are really going to whoop the Lions this week. I'm going to put all my money on the Packers. You go down to the racetrack. Maybe you do a little research. You learn about the horse that has a really funny name. You look up the breed, who's the jockey, how experienced the jockey is, who's the owner, any health issues, anything like that. And you do so much research on your favorite team or your favorite horse or whatever, to the point that you feel like, you know, I can make a pretty confident bet. I think maybe I'll put some money on this and put my confidence in it, and I think it'll come back in return and I'll be better off for it. There's a problem with that, right? This world is fallible, it's broken. So anything that we choose to place our confidence in the material world, will in some way end up hurting us, harming us. It will not fulfill us. That bet you made on that horse, maybe he breaks his leg right before the race. Maybe Aaron Rodgers gets concussed and the Lions put up 40 points. You don't know. You could fail. It could come back to bite you. But you put your confidence in it. You put your belief in it. What you believe in is what will drive you. And you can place your confidence in Jesus. If you believe that the Green Bay Packers are the best sports franchise in the history of America, you'll probably live your life accordingly. You'll talk about them in such a way. Maybe you'll make bets on them. Maybe you'll hype up the team, the players. If you believe in the transgender movement, you'll probably live your life accordingly. You'll do what you can to promote it, to be an ally. You'll live with it. You'll change your vocab. If you believe that politics are the way to save the country, you'll probably pick a party. And then you will live your life accordingly by that party's standards. You'll see the world through a liberal or conservative lens. If you believe that atheism is the way to go, you will live your life accordingly. If you believe that Islam is the way to go, you will live your life accordingly. Buddhism, Taoism, hundreds of religions in the world. But there's only one that doesn't come back to hurt you, doesn't bite you on the butt, and you get a big return on your investment, and that's Jesus. To place your confidence in him on the cross. To place confidence in Jesus is a life-altering decision. We enter into a relationship with God, and we have our paradigm shift. No longer are we motivated by work or money or politics or sports fandom. We're motivated now by the gospel. We're motivated now by scripture. We're motivated now by our relationship with the Lord to grow closer to him, to see the world in the eyes of God, to see the world through the eyes of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus matters. This is why this is so important. Our entire belief structure, our entire faith system, our motivations, what we do, why we do, is based on the fact that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. That's our entire faith in a nutshell. If you take Jesus out of the equation, if you take Jesus out of Christianity, it's just a house of cards. You take Jesus out of Christianity, you have just another world religion with a God and a spirit and prayer and songs. Jesus is the difference. He's the only way we can get into a relationship with God. There's no other way to do it. You can go to the next slide. Yay, wow, Luke's ahead of me. Okay. Our faith hinges on Jesus. Without Jesus, Christianity falls apart. I wholeheartedly believe this. And I don't think it's a dangerous thing to say because it's true. There are many different things you can point out, but I think there's three main things about Jesus that if one of them gets disproved, then everything falls apart. First one is, does Jesus exist? Did he actually exist? Did he live in the time that we said that he lived? Did he really interact with the people that he said he did? Is there actual physical evidence to support that Jesus actually walked this planet? Spoiler alert, yes. There are atheist historians and anthropologists who don't deny the fact that Jesus existed. So we can prove his existence. That's one. Next one, did he actually die? But not only did he actually die, did he die the way that he prophesied that he would die, but then not only did he die the way he prophesied that he died, did he die for the reason that he said he was going to die? Carry away our sins, to make a bridge between God and humanity so that we could be forgiven. The third one, which is probably, the third one is the resurrection, new life in Christ. If you can disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity falls apart. If Jesus doesn't come back from the dead, if he doesn't rise after 3 days, he's just another homeless hippie who got lucky and fulfilled prophecies, and he's just another man, just another good teacher. Him being resurrected, coming back to life, proves his divinity, it proves his holiness, it proves that he conquered death, and it proves that he is indeed the Son of God. If you can disprove any one of these three things, then I believe that that Christianity would fall apart. And if you don't believe me, that's okay, but there's a lot of biblical scholars, theologians, who probably would back up this claim. There's a really good book and movie, you guys have probably read it or seen it, it's called The Case for Christ, it's about Lee Strobel. Show of hands, has anyone read or seen the movie, either or? Awesome. And in the book, Lee, and in the movie too, the movie I think does a great job of being a biography about what's going on in his life. He and his wife start going on two different spiritual paths. His wife starts getting involved with the church, and that puts a strain on Lee and his marriage and the family. And Lee believes that the best way for him to save his family is to go on an investigation to disprove and discredit Christianity and tackle these three things. And a lot more in the book. These are just three that I narrowed it down to. And it's fascinating to see. I remember watching the movie. I'm a visual learner, so I'm using the movie as a reference more than the book. But in the movie, Lee is a journalist. He's an atheist. So he's biased in his investigation that he wants to disprove that Jesus actually existed, that he wants to disprove the death, the resurrection. He wants to disprove all of these things. But he's also a professional enough journalist to be objective about where the evidence leads him. And through his investigation and everything, he comes to find that, yeah, all these things hold up. And he gives his life to Christ, and his family comes to Christ. Well, his wife already did, but it's a really good book. It's a really good movie. I highly encourage you guys to watch it, to read it if you haven't yet. Lee does a really good job of affirming our faith in Jesus Christ. Who he is, he says who he is, and he did what he did. This is why Jesus matters. This is why it's so foundational. This is why this line in the Apostles' Creed is so important. You could go through the Apostles' Creed, read it line by line, and you can kind of debate the different things. But Jesus is something that you can't debate. Either he existed and lived the way that he did, or he didn't. It's either or, and that's what makes our faith so unique. And that's why Jesus matters, and that's why it's so important for us. So what now? What now? So far we've seen that God testifies that Jesus is his only son. He's well pleased in him. We've seen John implore people to believe this as well, to the point that he takes it to his death. And we've seen in John 3:16 the reason as to why Jesus even came in the first place, why God even sent him, and why it's so foundational and important for us to understand this. So what does it all boil down to us now, 2,000 years later? Well, let's read our last scripture reference here in John 20. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Now Thomas, this is in 20:24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I have seen in his hands the mark of the nails, and placed my finger in the mark of his nails, and placed my hand in his side, I will never believe." Thomas is a very empirical man. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Thomas declares that Jesus is Lord and that he's God. That word Lord is kurios, means master. And the God is theos, and it literally means God. That Jesus is part of the Trinity, that he is divine. You ever heard the phrase doubting Thomas? That's where this comes from. It's Thomas. He said, "I'm not going to believe until I actually see it." And when he finally does, he worships Jesus and he says, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus says, "Wow, you believe because you've seen. Imagine all those who have not seen and still believe." I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't there 2,000 years ago walking around with Jesus holding his hand. Anybody else? Did you do that? No? Blessed are those who have not seen, like us, and still believe. Jesus is master of our lives. If you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Christ, you've given Jesus permission to be master of your life. He's in control. We do what he asks us to do so he can mold us to be more Christ-like. Boy, that's a weird word, master. You know, in the year 2021, words like master, Paul says he's a slave to Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. There's some interesting words in the Bible that many people would probably say are archaic today. Master, slave, submit. Obey, that's a big one. But Thomas looks Jesus in the eye and says, "You are my master." What does that mean? Is Jesus just this 1834 white slave owner cracking a whip on all his believers? Get to work. No. What it is when Thomas declares that Jesus is master, what he's also doing is professing his humility. He's professing himself saying, "I can't save myself, Jesus. I can't be more like you without you. I can't enter into heaven without you. I don't know what's actually best for me and my soul and my life without you." And he says, "Jesus, take the wheel." They didn't have wheels back then. He said, "Jesus, take control. Be master of my life. I trust, Jesus, that you know more than me. I believe and place my confidence in you, that you will guide me and make me more Christ-like. You will grow me in character. I place my confidence in Jesus, that salvation is through him and not through anything that I can do." That's what it means to have Jesus be your Lord, to be your master, to place your confidence in him and to say, "You know more than me. You know better than me. And I humbly admit that." And Christ wants to make us more like him. Earlier, I talked about a paradigm shift when you've accepted Jesus Christ. That paradigm shift is sanctification. Salvation is a one-time event that happens. Once you accept Jesus' payment on the cross, that's salvation. Sanctification is the ongoing, never-ending process of becoming softer, kinder, more loving, more obedient to Jesus. And nobody here has mastered that yet. But we're working on it. Thomas also said that Jesus is God. Well, Jesus is divine. He has power beyond our comprehension. He is part of the Trinity. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus, I guess you could use the word threatened once or twice, to call a legion of angels to come and do his will, but he didn't. Jesus turned water into wine. He rose from the grave. He knows every secret about every person. He knows your name without you having to speak it. He sees you in the trees, Zacchaeus. Thomas declares that Jesus is Lord, he is God. He is master of my life because I humbly admit that I cannot do this without him. And then he admits that he is God because he has the divine power to be who he says he is. So why is this so important? In our scriptures, in our Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Jesus is the reason why we do what we do. He's the reason why we're saved. He's the reason why we can have a relationship with God. He's the reason why we have the Holy Spirit in us, which we'll talk about in August. He's the reason for everything. He's the reason why we come to church on Sunday. He's the reason why we start a mom's breakfast, a dad's breakfast. He's the reason why we plant a church in Rhode Island. If you take Jesus out of the equation, all of this becomes null and void. I'll place my confidence in Jesus, and I'll take that to the bank. I'm done. Let's pray. God, you are good. Jesus, you are holy. You're divine. You are master. You're the reason we do what we do. You're the reason why we do it. You're the reason why we change our paradigm. You're the reason why we become kinder, softer, more compassionate and understanding. God, you're the reason why we live. Thank you for Christ on the cross. Thank you for Jesus being our master. Thank you for Jesus being our God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Pray that we can remember how important Jesus is in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.